Let's start with the opening scripture first. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Okay. And we're going to have, I call it a companion scripture because the two go together. And last week, we were few in number, but I talked about God being our fortress and our rock. And because in many places in the scriptures, it talks about that very truth. And so we looked at some pictures of the Salzburg Castle in Salzburg, Austria, that I was taken through after a missions trip. And it's an enormous place. And when I read, as you could pull the first one up if you would, Fortress One. Is it there okay? Now that's a better one. That's the side that I saw. And what I want you to look at, just get this word picture with that thing. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. It doesn't say a rock, it says the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Now, this is out of the NIV. I want to talk about the rock. It's not a rock. It is a specific rock. And the rain and the streams, the floods, the winds are storms of life that every person experiences. And you'll find in these two verses, four verses of scripture, that the same storms came upon both the wise man and the foolish man. And that's really important because God doesn't just pick out bad stuff and send it to unsaved people. No. He sends them the good stuff because that's all he has is good. And he blesses them with the sunrise. He blesses them with rain for their crops. He's the same God for the righteous as well as the unrighteous. He doesn't love us any more than he loves them. We were unsaved and he loved us and he proved it at Calvary. So, but what do we do? Okay? Our life as a believer is built on that rock. You can go ahead and show the next one, if you would. That's the part that you couldn't see. You see, the camera angle that I took, all I could see was from this side of that castle. I never got to see what the rest of it looked like. There's a lot more to God than what you see. And you can see all these things, the walls, the foundation, and the structure built on top of that. That was built in the year 1055, and it was finished in, I think it was about 150 years later it took for that to be built. But you see how in the city of Salzburg, and that's the city where The Sound of Music was filmed. And this building is right smack in the middle of the city of Salzburg. Okay, go to the next one, if you would please. Now you can look down inside and see another view. And notice how thick. These are all you can see on the outside, but look at the size. It's like a whole community within those walls. And that's like the body of Christ. It's like, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if it were not true, I would have told you so. And we comfort people with those words. But when you look to God as the rock or the fortress, you see a much bigger picture than just that word in the scriptures. And so pictures are really good sometimes because they really illustrate the truth of God. And then there's one more, the fourth one. Now, you strip away all the foliage off the trees and look at what you see. All that gray is all rock. Right in the middle of Salzburg is this huge outcropping of rock. And that's the rock on which all of that structure was put. Now think of your life and think of what Jesus said. Do you know when that was first started to be built, it was over 1,000 years ago. Think of all the storms. See, they get snow in Austria. They get storms. They get rain. That river floods along the streets in the lower part. That's part of Salzburg right there that you're seeing. And they get all of those things. But nothing touches that castle. Nothing touches that fortress. It doesn't mean it doesn't happen. It just means it just is still there. And it illustrates this parable that Jesus taught very clearly. None of us escape the storms of life. We all have stuff happening all the time. But how we handle it, where do we go with it, what do we do with it, that's the key. And it says, whosoever hears these words and applies them. And I know that this word "hear" is an interesting word. I hear traffic going down the road. But if I listen, I can identify trucks. I can identify other things that go down the road. So to hear the words that Jesus spoke, or hearing the word, hearing is being aware of noises. But when you listen, you can identify. And it's the same in the word. We can sit here together and share scriptures back and forth together. We hear those words being spoken. But if we listen, that's the key, is listen to what the Spirit is saying. The rain came down. Yeah, did it rain today? Yeah, rain. You see the... Can I say this, Priscilla, about what I wrote to you? I know you're itching to talk about it. Why don't you say that? We're right in the middle of our teaching. Just for God to blow a breath of holy smoke down her way. Yeah, you know, because we just can do that stuff. It's simple. But why listen to bad reports and live in fear? I'm really simple. Y'all know that by now. I'm Mr. Simple, left-handed and simple, and you know, but I understand the principles of what faith is. Why would it be wrong of me to counteract a bad report by asking God? I did ask God. And when I went to bed, I think my last comments before my eyeballs banged shut in sleep was, Lord, I hope I didn't offend you by asking you to blow holy smoke down towards Priscilla. I didn't mean it in a bad way. I meant like a wave of the Spirit that would just drive the cold air back or hold it back so that nothing would freeze down here. And that was the whole point of that. But it came out kind of, you know, that's just me. And you all learn to roll with that. I know a lot of you. But the truth of this is, everything you see about that fortress, not only does it represent the God whom we serve, but it represents everyone who puts their hope and their trust and their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you also become like that rock. You're not moved. You're not shaken. You're not rattled. You're not wiped out. You're not destroyed. You stand. And we've all been through some really strong stuff. A lot of stuff has happened over the years since we've been saved. And a lot of things happened before we were saved. But God remained faithful. All these years, just like Barb said, You know, and so that's why when you said that, I got part two, because that's part two. Now, but we're not done yet. Yeehaw. Matthew chapter 16. We're just going to, we're staying in Matthew today temporarily, not jumping all over the place. And you can, yep, you can leave that right there. That's cool. Because it's a word picture. And we're talking about the rock. So that illustrates a rock or a fortress, the fortress that's on the rock. And we talked about that last week. And we had such a large congregation that we actually were all able to go in there and sit where they are back there and look at some of those pictures on the computer, because I couldn't figure out how to get them on it down here, so we all went back there. So this is part two. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 19. This is the NIV. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets," or basically, I don't know, maybe he was Amos. I don't know who he was, you know. But what about you? You 12. Who do you think I am? What's your understanding? And he asked, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." That truth, that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and that's who he really is. But you see, it was the Holy Spirit that revealed that to Peter. "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now, I want to go back up there, and I had inserted a few footnotes. As I'm reading, a lot of times I just write things down that come to me. So, here we are. In John chapter 1, verse 42, when Peter was first introduced to Jesus, Jesus called him Cephas, C-E-P-H-A-S. That word means little stone, or Petros in Greek. But the word Cephas means little stone. And so, when you read it, inserting that, what Peter told Jesus, "And I tell you that you are Peter, Cephas, a stone, and on this rock," not Peter, the little stone, "but upon this revelation from God that Jesus was the Messiah," Jesus said, "I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." God did not build his church on Peter. It wasn't about Peter. You see, Peter was a stone. The apostles played a very important part in the beginning of the early church. But Jesus himself is the chief cornerstone. If you look at the body of Christ as a building, if you look at the body of Christ as that picture that represented God, you in him, you're seated together in heavenly places with Christ, and therefore, wherever he sits, you sit. Whatever authority he has, you have. You have the power to bind things on earth, and you have the power to loose things on earth. He said that, "I give you the keys. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven." Did you notice Jesus didn't say, "Whatever heaven is bound, you can bind"? No, he said, "Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." How do you do that? You speak it. You speak Jesus. I mean, why not use the song? All of hell comes to attention at the next words out of your mouth whenever you mention Jesus' name, because they're on full alert. Oh God, what are they going to say next? The demons looked upon Jesus and they trembled. Is the devil afraid of you? You better believe it. But only if you speak the name of Jesus. Only if you bind and loose. Only if you know these truths. And you know that you know that you know. And you can speak from a revelation, not just a head knowledge. This stuff is real. And the word needs to become a part of who we are as individuals and as a body. So there you have it. Part two of the opening scripture last week. The rock. And your feet are on the solid rock. You're like the rock that's under that castle. In Jesus' name, we declare it. Amen. I have a little something I put together called Remaining Stable in Unstable Times. Because like the pictures of the fortress, in all the wars that have come and gone in that geographical area, in that fortress, that mighty fortress is our God, still stands. And as we look around us, if we just look at what our eyes can see, we see a lot of instability, a lot of unrest, things that aren't really all that stable. But the good news is that we don't have to be moved by it. How many of you know that God's kingdom is not dependent on this earth? His provision is not dependent on what we do. It's dependent on what he does. So here's the first verse of scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. And when Paul wrote these two letters to the Corinthians, one thing he noticed was that they had began to lose their hope in the resurrection. They began to draw away from that part that's very crucial about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and believing that he was raised from the dead on the third day. If you watch the History Channel, the National Geographic Channel, they always pay notice that they always leave him in the grave. Because it's one thing to say, yeah, I believed in Jesus at one time, you know, I believe who he said he was, but that being raised from the dead, I can't quite go that distance. And so Paul wrote at the end of chapter 15 this interesting little verse, because he expounded on reinforcing the resurrection of Christ and also the resurrection of our physical bodies to the believers. And he wrote this, "Therefore, my beloved brethren," And whenever you see the word therefore, you got to back up a little bit to see what it's there for. Amen. And it's there for strengthening the rest of the body of believers at Corinth about this thing that Paul preached and the apostles preached about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because if you go back to church history, you find that's one of the doctrines that they began to get lax about. They began to kind of waver about that. And so he wrote, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." And we've talked about that verse of scripture a few other times in, don't give up doing what you're doing. The good things that God has gifted you with, the talents, your skills, your gifts, your anointings, if you will, continue in those things. Don't let what's going on in this world affect what God wants to do in you and through you. And so this verse concludes a chapter that details the future resurrection of our earthly bodies, and I basically said that. But the word usually indicates Paul addressed those who had fallen away from his original teaching about that. And so to be steadfast and unmovable is to be spiritually grounded. I've used the example, we also use the word set. And any of you that have ever poured concrete, you know that if you stand in it for a while, you will be grounded. You will be set. And when you try to get out of it, your boots will remain, but your feet will come out of the boots. Because that's what rooted and grounded means. It's another word picture, okay? Just think about when concrete is poured. And think about your life rooted and grounded in Him. So that you're not going to be pulled or swayed or persuaded to leave the doctrines of your faith. In fact, the word actually calls it the word of faith, or in the faith. It's singular, in Christ. That's who it's referring to. So don't ever lose that and not be shaken from it. To be steadfast, a person knows what he believes, and he cannot be tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of doctrine. When you're rooted and grounded in the Lord and in His Word, you may hear some things from time to time that maybe don't set in your spirit. But you're not moved from that. Why? Because you're rooted and grounded in the truth of Christ and who He is. An unmovable person can hear false teaching, but engage the doubters and defend the truth without the shaking of your own faith. We've all heard things that were off the wall. Sometimes I think I'm off the wall, and then I go back and reread the scripture. And as long as we stay with the word, you know, I may have a different way of presenting it, but the truth is the truth. And your spirit, the Holy Spirit, will reveal to you whether it's true or not. You'll know because He's the Spirit of truth. But it won't shake you. It won't move you. It won't cause you to stumble or fall away because of it. And Paul also wrote in his second letter something very, very revealing. In this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. And another thing that Paul was concerned about with the church, this is his second letter, was his concern. And this is what he said in chapter 11, verse 3 of 2 Corinthians. I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. If we say that we could never be deceived, we're lying because we just were. It's possible. Even Jesus talked about even the very elect. Satan uses the word and he twists it, he perverts it, and he can be very convincing in your time of duress or stress. Or maybe not in a place where you feel like shouting out, praise the Lord. The enemy can come in at that time and start beginning to convince you that, oh, you don't need to do that anymore. Oh, you don't need to believe that anymore. You're all set. You're good. You know, and start putting lies in your mind. But if you really know the truth and you know the word, you need to be rooted and grounded, and it needs to be down inside of you so that every time you're faced with making a decision or everything that you do, the Word and the Spirit work together to keep you in a right place and to remain steadfast. Paul wrote this, even believers who had been personally taught by him were victims of deception. And how much more vulnerable are we? You know, if others gone before us can be deceived, why do you think people join cults? Why do you think they get drawn away? The fact of the matter is it's very possible because they've been deceived. And Satan uses scripture too. And But if we've not been diligent, if we've not been faithful, we don't dust our Bibles off every once in a while and pick them up and see what they have to say. You know, all the false religions of the world can be very persuasive, and they're very good at Bible verses. In fact, sometimes they come knocking on your door, usually on Mondays. Not mentioning any names. But if you're really knowledgeable in the Word, they're not going to hang around your house, because the spirit that they come in are going to find out that you really do know this Jesus. And he's not a God. He is God, manifest in human form. And they're not going to convince you and talk you out of it. So you need to hang on. This is coming into this new year. You really need to hold fast what you've learned and what you know to be true, and be unmovable at that. You have no need to change in those areas. None of us do. We've got to stand strong. And here we have in Colossians another situation that came up. And Paul addressed this. Colossians 1, verses 21 and through 23. I'll just read it. He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed, that word if, sometimes I think that's the biggest word in the Bible. If indeed you continue in the faith, notice singular, the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all of creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. And so it's possible that if we let our guard down, if we don't remain steadfast and hold on to the gospel, that we can be moved away from the hope that it offers. I have been with many people, and physical circumstances have caused them to lose hope. Situations, families falling apart, things happening, have caused people who were once strong in their faith to lose hope. And it's possible. And that's why Paul has put that in there for our sake. It says, if, the word if, you remain. In other words, you have a choice. We all have a choice. We can remain in the faith, or we can be deceived and walk away from it. It's, you wouldn't think maybe sitting here today that you ever would and can see yourselves not doing that. Well, Paul thought that too about the believers, but he still wrote these letters because of his concern that it's possible. And to lose your hope, it's not as bad as losing the object of your hope. But that's why we need to fellowship. We need to hang out. We need to spend time in the Word. I don't like to come and just tell stories. I like to bring the Word, because I've learned a long time ago that it's the Word of life. It's the Word that's going to keep us all going forward together as a body, but also individually. I need to hear it too. And when I speak it, I can hear it in my ears too. And I just know that the Word works. And I know that faith works. And faith works by love. So if your faith, you don't feel your faith is working, check your love walk. See if you're walking in love towards everyone, whether you like them or not. Because just liking somebody isn't the same as loving them. Liking means, well, I might be able to get along with them, but not getting into this love stuff. No, we're called to that walk. And when it comes to loving, we still have 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the end of the fail-proof living teaching. and that's going to be the end of that one, if I ever get back to it. But we will. We will. So anyway, stay steadfast. Don't let all the stuff that's going on around us, your neighborhood, your towns, don't let your minds get cluttered up and be thinking about all that stuff. If you spend as much time in the Word as you do worrying, worry will take the back seat. Worry will take a hike. Just don't let it get down inside of you. It's one thing to have it all around us, but it doesn't have to get down inside of us, okay? So that would be the word that's in my heart for today, is to just hang on, keep your seat belts buckled for the new year. We're going to see a lot of things happen that we would have been surprised a year ago, but we shouldn't be surprised at things we're going to see this coming year. But also, be ready to see what God is going to do. God is the antidote, amen?
Amen.
So there you have it. Anybody among us need prayer?